While the apostles testified to the others about the resurrection of Jesus, the early Christian community shared what they owned or sold their possessions to help their fellow believers who were in need. A reading from Acts. Now the whole world of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and no one claimed private ownership of any possessions, but everything they owned was held in common. With great power, the apostles gave their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. There was not a needy person among them, for as many as owned lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold. They laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as any had need. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. A psalm reading responsively. How good and how pleasant it is when kindred live together in unity. It is like fine oil upon the head, flowing down upon the beard of Aaron, flowing down upon the collar of his robe. It is like the dew of Hermon flowing down upon the hills of Zion, for here the Lord has commanded the blessing, life forever. The second reading. The opening of this letter serves as a reality check. The reality of God is light, but our confessed reality has been sin. God cleanses us from our sinful reality through Christ's death so that we may live in fellowship with Christ and walk in God's light. A reading from John. We declare to you what was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the word of life. This life was revealed, and we have seen it and testified to it, and declare to you the eternal life that was with the Father and was revealed to us. We declare to you what we have seen and heard, so that you may also have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him while we are walking in darkness, we lie and we do not do what is true. But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he who is faithful and just will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. The word of God. Thanks be to God.
Please stand as you are able to receive the Holy Gospel.
Alleluia, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Alleluia.
The Holy Gospel according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. When it was evening on the day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Judeans, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side, and the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing, you may have life in his name. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. So a man was on the side of the road hitchhiking on a very dark night in the middle of a storm. The night was rolling and no cars passed. The storm was so strong that he could hardly see a few feet ahead of him. Suddenly, a car came towards him and stopped. The guy, without thinking about it, got into the car and closed the door to realize that no one was behind the wheel. The car started slowly. The guy looked at the road and saw a curve coming his way. Scared, he started praying and begged for his life. He hadn't come out of shock when just before he hit the curve, a hand appeared through the window and moved the wheel. The guy, paralyzed in terror, watched how the hand had appeared every time before a curve. The guy gathered his strength and bolted out of the car and ran to the nearest town. Wet and in shock, he went into a cantina and asked for 2 shots of tequila and started telling everybody about the horrible experience he went through. A silence enveloped everybody when they realized the guy was terrified and not drunk. About a half hour later, 2 guys walked into the same cantina and said to the other, "Look, that's the creep who climbed into the car while we were pushing." The name of that joke is the ghost car. So Jesus appears to his disciples, and it doesn't say this in the Gospel of John, but they probably thought they were seeing a ghost. And after all, what is resurrection? Jesus is able to go into this room through a locked door. It doesn't say that he picks the lock. The disciples were locked in for fear. They were afraid they were going to be strung up too. They were, and apparently they did not believe Mary Magdalene, who said, "I have seen the Lord." So they're locked in fear. Jesus comes, I don't know, through the door, through the wall. So is Jesus a ghost, a dematerialized spirit? Well, apparently not, because later in the story, Thomas touches his hands and the hole in his side where, you know, he had been, the spear had penetrated his side. So apparently this is resurrection. It's a new kind of being. It's not without body. It's not a ghost. It's not a spirit. It's a real person. Jesus was back, really, but he was different. This passage from John, like so many passages, I could preach for 10 minutes on each verse. Of course, what do we got here? About 13 verses. That would take about 3 hours. So I won't do that. But there's so much stuff going on here. Jesus comes, the resurrected Jesus comes, and his disciples see him, and He says, peace be with you. Three times he says, peace be with you. Does that sound like anything we do here? We share the peace, right? The peace establishes a relationship. Jesus does not hold it against the disciples that they all deserted him. It's like, no, peace. We have relationship. This kind of peace is interpersonal, okay? It's not necessarily an inner peace, but an interpersonal peace. I have peace with you. The reason we pass the peace is we want to have that relationship before we go to the communion table. We forgive each other. We have peace. Jesus says the second time, peace be with you. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. So in other words, we have the power to forgive sins, the divine power to forgive sins. And he says, if you retain the sins, they are retained. I'm thinking, you know, we should probably be about forgiving sins no matter what. Now, forgiving sins does not mean, for instance, that everybody gets away. If a murderer goes to court, he gets sentenced to life in prison, and the chaplain might forgive his sins. His sin is forgiven, but he still has to pay the price, right? But let's say if his sins are forgiven, he has the peace of God. The peace of God is connected to forgiveness of sins. Today we had baptism of Savannah, and baptism is an acknowledgement that we need forgiveness of sins. It is not a thing about, okay, after you're baptized, you sin no more. The epistle today says, you know, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And if we do sin, we do have forgiveness, but we try not to sin, right? It's kind of a paradox, right? We try not to sin, but we usually fall into sin. And sometimes we think we're pretty good, right? But, you know, if looking from the outside, I always like to say, if God sat down with you at the end of your life and watched a videotape of your whole life, would you come off as a shining, sparkling, sinless? I don't think so. We hurt people. We don't take a stand when we should take a stand. We're weak sometimes. We're broken people. We need forgiveness. But we go forward trying to practice righteousness, justice, and peace. Thomas is not there the first time. Thomas apparently wasn't afraid like the other guys, right? What was Thomas doing? He was not afraid. And so he says, I'm not going to believe. I don't believe you guys. I'm not going to believe. And Jesus comes the next week and again comes through the door. Apparently the door is shut, but somehow he makes himself present and says to Thomas, all right, come on. Touch the wounds. I'm real flesh and blood. And Thomas responds graciously, my Lord and my God. He realizes that Jesus is indeed God's presence. Now, we don't think a lot about this line, but at the time of the writing of the Gospel of John was the Roman Empire. Domitian was the emperor. And Domitian, you know, emperors thought of themselves as being divine. And this was his favorite way to be addressed. If you wanted to get in well with Domitian, you would say, my Lord and my God. You would bow down to him and say, my Lord and my God. So when Thomas uses this line, it might get him in trouble to say that to Jesus instead of Domitian, that Jesus is Lord and God. Jesus then says, do you believe, Thomas, because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe. Who's that? That's us. Blessed are those who have not seen the resurrected Jesus, but yet have come to believe. Jesus says to Thomas, don't doubt. And a lot of times, this has been called Doubting Thomas Sunday. It's a wrong translation from the Greek. The word apistus is not, none of the definitions should be translated doubt, do not doubt. However, the modern translations like to follow, you know, the King James Version, which did not translate it right. It should be instead, the literal translation of what Jesus says to Thomas is, do not become unbelieving, but believe. Do not become unfaithful, but faithful. Do not become uncertain, but certain. Okay? That's a little bit different. In other words, Thomas, really, it's like, Thomas, this is your time. It's a time for you to realize what it is. Do not continue. Do not become unfaithful. Do not become unbelieving. Do not become uncertain, but believing. Believe, have faith, be certain. So a lot of people doubt in churches. There's probably some doubters here, and there's nothing wrong with that. You know, the Psalms have doubt in them. Did you know that? There are a lot of Psalms that say, for instance, the one that Jesus started quoting from the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus was quoting Psalm 22. So doubt is a part of faith, as long as it's not a continuous thing that lasts forever. Don't become unbelieving, but believe. Don't become unfaithful, but have faith. Don't become uncertain, but be certain. That is the message for us. Our hymn for today will be, we walk by faith and not by sight. Blessed are you who have come to believe, who have not seen. That is the message for us today. We celebrate the resurrection, and that in the resurrection we have eternal life. The end of that chapter says, these words were written so that you might know that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and through believing you may have life in his name. What kind of life is that? Eternal life. That through believing you may have eternal life in his name. So we believe again. Against all odds, we believe that Jesus rose from the dead, and his presence through our baptism makes us to have eternal life. So we, as a grateful response, we continue to believe in Jesus Christ our Lord. That same Jesus is with us in bread and wine, a little sip of wine, a little piece of bread that reminds us of that eternal life. So come and share in the meal of eternal life. Amen.